Hello. Welcome to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series, recorded live during the liturgy at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church in Ellicott City, Maryland. This homily is from the third Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2018.
I'm not going to preach on the second reading, but before Mass started with our ministers, we were making sure all the stations were covered and then pray before Mass begins. But in that second reading, it can be a little confusing. What does Paul mean? Time's running short. Those of you that who have wives, act as though you don't have them, to which someone said, it means football all day. So that might be the case for some of you, but I won't move into that reading, but it's an encouragement to not hold on to this life too tightly, lest we miss out on what is to come. And we will pick up some of that when we look at the gospel. But really quickly, two invitations. One, parents of kids who are from preschool up to middle school, don't forget our upcoming PG conference that we have. It's going to be on Saturday, February 3rd, so just 2 weeks away. But that conference from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., child care is available. But it's for parents. We want to help equip you to guide your kids through the craziness of the world in regard to the message it sends in terms of how God made us, what our bodies are for. Those parents who have struggled to kind of figure out, how are we going to have the talk with our kids? How do we do that? Where do you start? This conference is for you. It's going to be very practical that way, and that'll be one of the things that the day is aiming to do to help you to be ready to present the truth and the beauty of how God has made your kids, to present that to them. And you know, you don't have time to wait until they get older. The world is not waiting, parents, to give your kids very specific messages about who they are, what their bodies are all about, what the gift of our sexuality is all about. I mean, even down to the very toys that your kids play with, already in some fashion, the message of the world has really kind of already been built into that. So the world is not going to kind of just say, well, we'll wait for you to teach your kids first. It doesn't happen. So I really want to encourage our parents with kids from, I mean, really newborn all the way up through middle school to join us for that day. Another invitation for our upcoming Discovering Christ course kicks off Thursday, February 8th. I've mentioned it a lot, but I really do want you to be able to make that shift from having a faith just be something that we know about to actually having an experience of the power of God's love and the power of the gospel. And I know a lot of us probably feel like, well, I know stuff up here, but I have to admit it really hasn't affected or changed the way that I live. And I don't want that to be the case. I don't want to be one of those people that says one thing but lives life a different way. So each of those 7 nights on Thursdays this year are just aiming at creating an environment that evening, from the dinner to the worship to the talk, creating an environment where you are able to experience the full power of the gospel. That's what we're aiming for. That's what the team is getting ready for on those nights. So it's going to be a great course. I do hope that you'll join us. And also, too, please be open and ready to let the Lord work through you to invite another. Again, the power of your invitation is huge. It really is. And there are so many people that are waiting to be invited. And I want to encourage you to be open, on the lookout for who the Lord would like you to invite. And just when you make that invitation with love and with sincerity, it's usually received well. Even if they say, you know what, I won't go or I can't go, but thank you for the invitation, that's pretty much kind of the worst case when it's done in the context of a friendship that you already have with a neighbor or a coworker or something like that. So we still have a few of those invitation cards available as you leave Mass today. So grab one for yourself, but also for the one that the Lord may be tugging on your heart to invite. So let's take a look at the gospel now. These are the very first words that the Lord Jesus speaks in the gospel of Mark. His very first public words that are recorded here. Jesus says and announces to the crowds and to us, "This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." It's a call to conversion. He begins the announcement of this work that the world had been waiting for, had been longing for, now coming to its fulfillment. And it begins with the Lord's call to us to conversion. Notice that this call to conversion is different than what Jonah preached. Jonah's message was out of the negative, which is, in 40 days, Nineveh's going to be destroyed, so repent or face destruction. And that message, people often think that that's the Christian message. It's not the heart of it. It is a valid message. I mean, it is true that we have to be living in light of the two great ends that our life can move toward, will move toward. But notice the Lord's message is different. The call to repentance is not simply to get rid of the negative, but it is to prepare to enter into this amazing thing, the breaking in of God's kingdom in the world. And this is not just the message that we are meant to hear at the beginning. It's the constant call of the Lord in each one of our lives. The call to conversion is a lifelong call. It's a lifelong work of God in us. And I want to speak about your conversion individually, because each one of us is called to it. The reason that the message begins this way is because not one of us is born into the world in a place where we are fully open to God, completely yielded to Him already. None of us are born into that place because, sadly, there's the reality of the wound of original sin. So every one of us needs to hear that call. And, you know, conversion is the great project of God in each of our lives. It's the thing that we're all being called to. It's the thing that He is constantly wanting to work out and accomplish in us. So for that reason, I want to share with you three things that I think is important that you know about the conversion that God is wanting to work in you. Three things that we need to know in order to hear the gospel today and really cooperate with the Lord. The first thing is this, and I'm going to start with the harder piece. The work of conversion in our life is genuinely, truly one of the most difficult things that you and I will ever have to cooperate with or need to cooperate with. The work of conversion is a deep and hard work. It is not something that comes easily. Because what we're talking about is the work that the Lord needs to do to chip away and chisel away at habits, sinful patterns in our life, sinful ways of thinking that have built up over the years. And that is not an easy work to do. It never happens that we just say, "Well, Lord, here I am, do the work and it's done." I think every one of us knows the struggle in trying to break free out of a particular habit of sin or pattern of sin in our life. And so I think the first thing that we need to know is this is not going to be a really easy thing. Even with God's grace taking the lead, which it does, the work that you and I face, like, we need to know we are in a real battle. There is a very real battle in our spiritual life. And as much as the Lord is wanting to pull us to Himself, remember, there is an enemy at work. Satan, he is real. He's not just a made-up kind of thing. He's very real. And he is constantly at work wanting to keep you and I from growing closer to the Lord. He's constantly at work wanting to prevent the work of conversion from happening. And so the first thing we need to know is this is going to be hard, and we need to be ready for a battle. We need to be ready for the struggle that's involved when we really say, Lord, I want this. I want to be set free from the work of sin and the habits and the patterns of sin in my life. One of the great saints who described his own battle in this area with a real vividness and passion and emotion was Augustine. In his Confessions, in his autobiography, he tells us that for him, his root struggle was in the flesh with sins of lust. And he's really clear, very honest about that. But in his Confessions, he writes for us what was happening just as he was getting close to making the decision to be baptized. He was 30 years old. He'd put it off for all of his life, and he'd given himself away to the world. And the Lord was continually working in his heart. And he got to the point where he said, I want that. I want to be able to choose the new life of baptism. But in the moment, as he's getting ready to try to make that choice, he tells us that he heard the voices of those sins that it had a grip on him. He said, I heard their voices saying to me, do you really think that you can live without us? And Augustine describes the effect that those voices had on him, wanting to break free from sin, but hearing the enemy himself speak through all of those things that he had just given his life over to, say to him, do you really think that you can live without us? That is one of the worst things that we can hear when we're trying to break free from sin. And Augustine says, in that moment, I felt the chains of my captivity to sin wrapped around me. I was twisting and turning in the chains, desiring to be free and yet feeling the constraint of the sin. That's the battle. And it doesn't matter what our own particular root sin might be. That struggle, that battle is very real. And I want you to know that, because I wouldn't be doing you a favor if I said to you, God's calling you to conversion, just say yes, and it's going to be simple. It's not. It is the work of a lifetime. And it involves a very real struggle. Now, here's the second thing, what makes it worth it. The thing that the Lord is wanting to do in the conversion that he's working in each of us is not just set us free from the sin, not just get us to stop the bad stuff. He's got something glorious in mind, and it is this. You were created to become like Christ. You were created to become like Christ. It's what you were made for. It's one of the great purposes for which God made you, to become nothing less than a full sharer in the life of Christ, that you become like him. That's what he made us for. And we shouldn't be surprised at that. You know, this last year or so on Facebook, it got real popular for zoos to set up a camera on an animal that was going to be having a baby soon. She had all these different cameras, and like one of the zoos had like their giraffe cam, and the mama giraffe was going to be giving birth to a baby soon. Well, if you watch that, when that mama giraffe gave birth to its baby, and a baby giraffe pops out, not one of you would have been like, whoa, I was not expecting that. Like, that giraffe just had a baby giraffe. Like, that is mind-blowing. You wouldn't be surprised, because offspring look like their parents, right? Well, who's your father? I mean, who's really your father? Whose image and likeness were you made in? So don't be surprised when we hear that you were created to become like Christ. The way that St. Paul puts it, this is really beautiful. It's in his letter to the Romans. It's in chapter 8. It's in verse 29. St. Paul says that before time began, God had already destined us, already chosen us to take on the image of his Son. We were already chosen and destined to look like him so that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That's God's plan. It's what you were created for. You were created to become like Christ. That's the end goal of the conversion that the Father is working in you. And what an amazing, glorious goal it is. But all of the hard work that goes into it and the battle, it's not just to get rid of the negative stuff, the sin. It is to achieve in you the image that God the Father is wanting to chisel away at in order to bring it out fully. You know, we all know a diamond in the rough, when it's brought out of a mine, it doesn't look like what you have on your wedding band right now. It has to be polished, and all the external junk has to be chipped away in order to fully reveal the beauty of it. That's what the Father's wanting to do in us. That's the end goal of the conversion. So I want you to be able to enter into it and say, Lord, I want this. Not just because I'm afraid of hell, although for some of you that might be where you're at right now. But the end goal is not just escape from hell. The end goal is, Father, I want to look like one of your sons, one of your daughters. So do the work in me. Here's the third and final piece. This work of conversion, this work of breaking us out of sinful ways of thinking and acting, speaking, living, that work, because it's a work of God's grace, it is completely attainable. He will do it. He wants to accomplish it. It is completely within his realm. It is possible for God to achieve that conversion in you. And I need to say that because there are some of you that have really been struggling in certain areas of your life with sin, where you've desperately, I mean, to the point where you've grown to, in certain ways, to kind of almost hate yourself because of the struggle with sin. And you just have figured it's never going to be different. And I need to tell you that that's not God's plan or desire. With God, all things really are possible. We believe that. And he so deeply wants you to be with him for eternity that he's not going to stop working in you to achieve that. So don't give up. Don't give up. He loves you, and the work belongs to him. We have to cooperate with it, yes, and it is a struggle, a battle, but the end goal is glorious. You were created to become like Christ. That's it. That's what we were made for. The call that begins the gospel is the call that is woven into the whole of the message of our Savior from beginning to end. The call to be full sharers in this amazing plan of God that we speak of as the kingdom of God. So I want to pray that we will be ready for the battle because we know the end goal and trust confidently in the working of his grace, that we would not give up or give in to discouragement, but keep offering our own yes to that glorious work of the Lord in each and every one of us.
Thank you for listening to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series. We invite you to visit our website at www.olphparish.org to get connected with everything our parish has to offer.